Well, please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. We're going to go all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. And this morning, we're going to continue through our series, through the book of Colossians. And today, we'll be looking at how to honor God where He has placed us. And in particular, we'll take a look at different relationships that we may have in our lives and what kind of attitude we should adopt in those relationships. So without further ado, let us read starting in Colossians 3, verse 18. Listen carefully to God's word. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Thus the reading of God's word. Let's pray again. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be present right now. And because, Lord, this is difficult, and I pray, Lord, that you would empower me to preach. And we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive these things, and that you would change us from within, that you would show us your glory through these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we jump into the text, I just want to exhort you not to forget what we have already learned in the book of Colossians. Because this is a real problem that we are tempted with. We often suffer from spiritual amnesia. We forget. That's who we are. We forget what we have already learned from the Lord. And if we forget the foundation, then we don't have anything to stand on to move forward. And so it's really important for you to remember, to not forget what you have already learned in this series through the book of Colossians. We don't want to forget the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ. We don't want to forget the vileness of our sins and the fact that we are not good people. Believe me, as you read this, you see, okay, this is how I should live as a Christian. You may be tempted to think, hey, I can do this. But you have to remember, you're not a good person. Remember what it says. You were saved from your own sins because you are a bad person. And in spite of that, God calls you to pursue these things with humility, recognizing the mercy that He has granted to you. And you want to remember, you depend on God's mercy every single day, even as you try to obey these commandments. And so I want to exhort you not to forget what you have learned so far in the book of Colossians. And in fact, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. Now, this is back in Moses' day, back when they are at Mount Sinai, they're receiving the law. And Moses says in verse 12, "Then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Now, I want you to notice what is happening here. Now, it goes back a long ways. The beginning, when God made a covenant with His people, the Israelites. And back then, they had the same problem that we have. They were tempted to forget what God had done for them. They were right there. I mean, this is right there when God is on that mount in glory. The mount is shaking. There's smoke because of the cloud. And you see that even though they are so close to what God is accomplishing, yet He's telling them, you are tempted to forget the Lord. I want you to remember this. Don't forget what God has done for you. In the same way that they were tempted to forget what God had done for them, delivering them from slavery in Egypt, we are also tempted to forget. To forget what God has done for us, how He has saved us from our sins because we were guilty before Him. And we don't want to forget that. That's a problem, and it's been going on for centuries. And when you read the history of Israel, you see they always forgot the Lord. They always forgot what He had done. They turned away from Him and turned to their sins. And we don't want to do that. And we as conservatives, we can easily fall into a deadly trap. Because we take the Bible seriously, and we want to obey God's commandments. But you see, we can easily detach the wonderful truths of the gospel from trying to obey God's commandments. We can do that as conservatives, and we don't want to do that. That is a deadly trap, and we don't want to go back to the letter of the law. We want to obey the spirit of the law. When the Holy Spirit is working in us to give us a desire to follow God, not just obeying everything in the letter of the law as though we could keep it that way. And so we want to make sure we don't fall into this trap. We do want to uphold God's law, but we want to do it in the right way. We want to do it according to what He has told us about our guilt before Him, about the fact that we have broken His law, and that we depend on His grace, and we depend on the work of the Holy Spirit to change us from within. And only then will you be able to follow God and to honor Him. So we don't want to forget that. And for this reason, I'm going to do something special today. We're going to look at these verses in two different ways. I want to look at the wrong way to look at these commandments. And I want to look at the right way to look at these commandments. And hopefully you're going to understand why I'm doing this. And you're going to see the beauty of the gospel. Even when you try to follow these commandments, that the gospel still shines. That this is your foundation on which you stand to follow these things. So let's begin by looking at the wrong way to look at these commandments. And for this point, I want to look at two problems. Now, the first problem is trying to obey these commandments with the wrong heart. The second problem is when someone tries to use these commandments to manipulate someone else. Now, these are the two problems I want to look at. Now, the first one is trying to obey these commandments with the wrong heart. Now, for instance, if your heart has not been regenerated, if your heart has not been changed from within, you're never going to be able to honor God, even if you try to follow these commandments. It's just impossible. Because God wants your heart. God doesn't just want some kind of superficial, external obedience to His law. He wants your heart, and He wants your love. And so that's why you can't honor Him if your heart has not been changed from within. And let me give you an illustration. Okay, imagine if you have a child who is perfectly obedient. Your child does everything that you want him to do. Everything you tell him to do, he does it. He doesn't lie at all to you. He tells you the truth. He's honest and open about everything. You may think, hey, that sounds really good. There's just one problem. Your child does not love you. Your child doesn't have any ounce of affection for you. You know, the reason he's obeying you is not because he loves you. It's because he doesn't want to get in trouble. He knows, if I obey my parents, it's going to go well for me, so I better do this. And he's honest about it. He tells you, you know, I don't love you. You know that. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll clean up my room. I'll do my chores. I'm going to study hard. And you know what? I'm even going to take care of you when you get old. But don't ask me if I love you. I don't. I don't have any ounce of love towards you. I don't like you, but I'm going to do whatever you tell me to. Now, what's wrong with this child's obedience? I mean, is there anything wrong? Would you want a perfect child?
Not that way.
That's right. There's something wrong with the child's heart. You see, your child is obeying you for the wrong reasons. And you understand, I mean, I wouldn't want my child to obey me in everything, but to be some kind of cold-hearted monster. I mean, you want your child to have love, to have affections. That's what you want to motivate the outward behavior. It has to start with the right heart. Well, in the same way, you see, if your heart has not been changed, if God has not changed your heart so that you love Him, and you want to obey Him because of what He has done for you in Jesus Christ, if you're trying to obey Him without any love for Him, You're not going to do anything that honors him. If you just try to keep the external law without any love for him, without believing in Jesus Christ, without any gratitude for his salvation that he has given to you, then your obedience is superficial at best. And it's really dishonoring to the Lord. And so I want you to turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel is found towards the end of the Old Testament in the Minor Prophets, right after Hosea. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now, this is what the Lord says. He says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster." Now you notice what it says. It says that God wants your heart. God doesn't just want your outward actions. He wants your heart. And you notice it says, rend your hearts and not your garments. Well, you know, and back then they would rip their garments as a show of repentance. And he says, don't just rip your garments, rip your hearts. Be full of mourning and weeping because you have broken my commandments. He wants your heart to be broken over the fact that you have sinned against him. He wants your heart. He says, come to me because of who I am. Because I am gracious. Because I am merciful. Because I am slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Because this is who I am. And this is what I give to you. This amazing salvation. Therefore, give me your heart. May your heart be broken over your sins. And may your obedience be motivated by a transformed heart. This is what God wants. And so this is the first problem. If you're not doing this with the right heart, your external obedience doesn't even matter. But the second problem, now some people could say, well, I'm a believer, so that doesn't apply to me, right? This is only for unbelievers who don't have any love for God. But it's possible even for believers to have the wrong heart as they try to obey God's commandments. It's possible for someone to lose sight of Christ as you try to follow God's commandments. It's possible for believers to lose sight of the gospel as you try to follow God's commandments. Now you can think, for example, let's say you try to do everything that's right, but you have just a big grudge in your heart. You have so much bitterness in your heart. You don't want to do this. But you're going to do it, okay. Well, let me tell you this. If you have this grudge as you're trying to do what's right, there's something wrong. In spite of the fact you may believe in Jesus, there's something wrong with your heart, and your obedience is not motivated by the right heart. Now, for instance, let's say that your spouse is lazy, really lazy. Your spouse doesn't do anything around the house, so you're the one who has to clean up. You're the one who has to take care of the children. And you even have to support your family by working. Now imagine you have a lot of bitterness in your heart because of that. And you have this grudge and you're starting to think this way. Well, I know that no one else is going to do anything around the house. So you know who's going to have to do it? I'm going to have to do it. Oh yeah, I don't get anything in return. I don't get any appreciation. But hey, if I don't do this, no one else is going to do it. So I guess I have to do this. Oh, I wish I could rest, but hey, there's no rest for me. Now imagine if you had that attitude as you're trying to do everything in the house. Now, let me tell you this. If you have that kind of grudge, if you have that kind of bitterness in your heart, even though you may be cleaning up, you may be working to feed your family, you can still dishonor God by your attitude. And God doesn't just want your outward obedience. God wants your heart. He wants your heart to be right before him. And that from this heart, you would be motivated to do what's right and to obey his commandments. And so you see that the external behavior is not enough. God wants your heart. Now the second problem is, let's say someone is trying to use these commandments to manipulate someone else. And I don't know if you've seen it done, but I have. There are some people who try to use these commandments to manipulate someone else, whether it's their wife, their husband, whoever it is. Now, for example, you look at verse 18. Go back to Colossians 3, verse 18. Now, verse 18, in the hands of a manipulator, could be deadly. Let me read verse 18. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Now, you look at this. Now, let me tell you this. A controlling husband could cause a lot of harm to his wife if he misuses this verse. And if he uses it to control her, to manipulate her, he could cause a lot of harm. And he would be at fault. If the wife submits, she is not at fault in any way. He would be at fault for the way that he treats his wife. Now, there are some husbands who rule their wives in a way that they would never want anyone else to do it to them. They do it so harshly, and they should ask themselves this question. Okay, let's say that you were back in your father's house as a child, and your father treated you the way that you treat your wife. Would you feel like you've been robbed of your dignity? Would you feel like you're not respected as a person? Because it's important to reverse the roles here. Because if you wouldn't want someone else to treat you this way, then you shouldn't treat your wife that way. You should treat her with dignity. And so it's possible to misuse, and people are tempted to misuse that, to keep their wives in subjection and to be harsh with them. And this is a warning to anyone who would be tempted to do that. We don't want to misuse this verse. We don't want to manipulate others with that. And the same thing could be done on the other side. You see, a wife, a controlling wife, could use verse 19 to control her husband. Now, verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Now, if a controlling wife wanted to use this, to misuse it, to manipulate her husband, she could just nag him to death. Imagine that. I mean, I've seen wives who think that they're submitting, but they're not. Because they nag their husbands to death. They always tell their husband how he ought to lead. They tell their husbands how he ought to love his family, how he ought to love his wife. And now this is not the right way to do it. Now, wives should ask themselves this question. How can you help your husband to have more love? How can you stir up your husband's love? Is it by nagging him? Is it by telling him how he ought to lead? Well, no. If you want to stir up your husband's love, you have to do two things consistently. You want to pray for him every day. Pray that God would transform his heart. Pray that God would show him, would reveal these things to him. And you have to do a second thing consistently. You have to do all your duties as a wife in the best way that you can, consistently. Now, if you do those two things, you will stir up your husband's love. And so you don't want to misuse these things. It's possible for parents to misuse verse 20 and to abuse their children. It's possible for children to misuse verse 21 and to rebel against their father. It's possible for employers to misuse verses 22 through 25 and to rebel against their employees or to mistreat their employees. And it's possible for employees to misuse verse 1 in chapter 4 and to rebel against their boss. And I want you to understand, you don't want to underestimate the wickedness of your heart. Because you may think, hey, I'm not like that. I would never do that. Well, don't underestimate how wicked your heart is. You will be tempted to justify your actions. You will be tempted to misuse these verses. And I want to give you a warning. This is not the right way. You see, two problems that we're looking at. If you're doing these things with the wrong heart, or if you're misusing these verses, this is not the way. This is the wrong way to look at these commandments. And so now the question is, what is the right way? So if this is the wrong way to look at these commandments, what is the right way? Well, if you want to understand, you have to back up a little bit. And you don't have to back up very far. Just go back to verse 17. Verse 17, it says, And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now you notice what it says here? If you want to do this the right way, you have to do it for the Lord Jesus. You have to do it for the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, whatever you do, in your words, in your deeds, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God for what He has done in Christ for you. This is what should motivate your obedience. This is what it means to have the right heart before God. You see, you do it out of love for Jesus. That's what should motivate you to be a submissive wife. That's what should motivate you to be a loving husband, to be an obedient child, our gracious parent, our hard worker, or a good boss. It should be the love of Christ that motivates you to obey Him, to obey His commandments. And in fact, I want to tell you, the way that you treat others is a good reflection of your love for the Lord Jesus. You see, there are some people who claim to love God, but they're really abusive in their relationships. They claim to love God, but they just manipulate people. And I want to seriously ask you to examine your heart. If your relationships with others is abusive like that, I seriously question whether or not you really have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the way that you treat others is a reflection of your relationship with the Lord. If you have really received the forgiveness of sin, then you will forgive others. You will be gracious with others in your relationship with them. And so this is really important for us to consider that. And I want to look at these verses again. I want you to look at verse 18. Now the question that we have to ask ourselves for verse 18 is, what does it mean to honor Christ as a wife? Now you're going to notice that it says, as is fitting in the Lord. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So obviously, if your husband wants you to sin, you're not to obey him. If you have to choose between obeying God or obeying your husband, you obey God. But if your husband is telling you to do anything that is not sinful, you are to follow him. You are to let him lead, and you are to support him as the leader of your family. And you are to make it pleasant and easy for him to lead. And I want to give you a concession. This is really countercultural. I mean, our world is not like this. With the feminist movement and everything, people don't like to think of women in submission to their husbands. They like to think of women as being assertive, being in control. And this is really countercultural. And I know this. If you follow the world, they will tell you this is not what you should do. And so you have to choose between the two. Will I follow the world, or will I follow God's design? Because this is how God has designed the family. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to look the same from one family to the other. I'm not saying that you have to obey everything perfectly, because you're not going to be perfect. And there is grace in those situations. I see some families in which wives, they just can't let their husband lead because their husband is unable to lead. Maybe he's got a disability. Maybe he's hooked up on drugs or something. I mean, if your husband is not able to lead, there is grace. You see, don't forget the grace of God, even as you look at these commandments. Now, the Bible says that women are not to have authority over men, but we see even in the Bible examples of exceptions. You think of Deborah. She was a judge. Now think of this. Deborah had authority over men. She had authority. She led the armies of Israel to war. But you know why she did that? It's because the men were wimps. That's the reason. The men were not doing what they were supposed to do. And in fact, you remember Barak? He was supposed to lead the armies of Israel. And you know what he said to Deborah? He was shaking in his shoes. And he said, if you go with me, then I'm going to go. But if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go. Now think about this. These were the kind of men that you had. So to put them to shame, God called a woman to do what they should have done. And in fact, when he said that, she said, well, therefore, God will deliver your enemies into the hands of a woman. And you remember who killed Sisera? It was a woman. Jael. She drove a tent peg right through the head of the enemy of Israel. So you understand, there are exceptions, but we don't want to make a rule out of exceptions. And I want you to understand, this is the order that God has designed. But even when you see these commandments, there are exceptions. There is grace in spite of this. But we want to put everything in the right order. And as much as possible, we want to obey this. And wives, as much as possible, you want to submit to your husband. Now, for verse 19, we have the same question. What does it mean to honor Christ as a husband? Let me read verse 19. It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now it gives you the positive side. It says what you are to do. You are to love your wife. And it gives you the negative side, what you are not to do. It says, do not be harsh with your wife. And so, husbands, we should ask ourselves this question. Do we show appreciation to our wives? Are we gentle with them? Or do we criticize our wives? Are we harsh with them? You see, we have to ask ourselves this. And if you want to know what it means to love your wife, you can just turn to 1 Corinthians 13 as a chapter on love. It gives you God's definition of love. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, you'll find that love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Now that is very instructive. So as husbands, do we get irritable with our wives? Do we get resentful? We have to consider this because we are to lead our wives, but we are to do it in love. You see, our goal as the leader should be to bless those who are under us. If you are a leader, you're to lay aside your own desires and put the desires of your wife or anyone who is under you first. If you're a husband, you are to bless your wife and you are to bless your children. And so everything has to be in the right order. And we have to ask the same question for children. You look at verse 20 and we ask the question, what does it mean to honor Christ as a child? Verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And see, I don't know, there are a few children over here in the front. And I want to make sure that the children are paying attention because this is for you. Gracie. I just want to make sure you're paying attention because this is for children. Now, it says that if you want to honor God as a child, you are to obey your parents in everything. Now, of course, if your parents want you to sin, don't obey them. If you have to choose between obeying God or obeying your parents, you obey God. But whatever they ask you to do, if it's not sinful, you are to obey them. And that pleases the Lord. Now, this is amazing because some people may think, if you want to serve God, you know what you have to do? You have to become a missionary or something, right? Some people think if you want to live for God, you have to do big things like that. But this verse is saying you can do small things and live for God. You can do small things like clean up your room when your parents ask you to do that. If you love the Lord, you can honor Him just by doing these small things, obeying your parents. When they say, get ready to go to bed, and you do it, you're pleasing the Lord. God is looking. He sees everything that you do. And when you do obey your parents, you bring glory to God. And He's looking at you and He's happy and He says, that's a good job. This is my servant. And she does everything that her parents want her to do. So I want you to understand, you can live for God even now. You don't have to wait until you grow up. You don't have to become a missionary. You can do it right now. Thank you for your attention. Now, the second one is the parents. The parents have to ask themselves the same question. What does it mean to honor Christ as a father? You look at verse 21, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." And I would argue that although this is primarily for fathers, this also applies to mothers, because you have to follow your husband's lead, and he tells you how he wants to lead his family, and so the wife has to play a part, has to play a role in that. So although this is primarily for fathers, both parents should pay attention to this. And you look at that, it says, "Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Now you look at this and you think about what would happen if you just pushed your children too far, pushed them too much, because they have their limits. And you think about this, let me give you an illustration. Okay, how much correction could you take from someone? Imagine if someone was following you every day. You just have this annoying person following you around, and that person is always pointing out what you do wrong. You say something the wrong way, he says, "Hey, you shouldn't have said that." You do something the wrong way, he says, "Hey, you shouldn't have done that." Now, how long would you tolerate that? How long would it take until you snap? Well, you see, you want to reverse the roles a little bit. Because if you know how frail you are, then remember how frail your children are. How much correction do you think they can take? I want to give you another example. Let's say your pastor started laying down the law. Not as a shepherd who cares for his soul, but as a law enforcer. Just think about this. Let's say, every time you came to church late, I scolded you from the pulpit. Imagine, every time I asked you, "Did you pray this week for the church?" and you said no, I scolded you. Imagine if every time you didn't come to Sunday school, I reprimanded you. Now, how long would you take that? If I didn't give you any grace, I just laid the law on you like this. Now think about this. Because it's important to reverse the roles a little bit. Because you see, you are, if you are a parent, you're an authority. You're like the leader of your congregation. Your children are your congregation. Now think about this. How much law do you think they can take? And how much grace do you think you need to show them? How much love do you think you need to show them to keep them in the right place? And so it's important for us to reverse those roles so that we can put ourselves in the other person's shoes, especially if we're an authority. So you see, I've been reversing the roles a lot so that you can see what it means for the other person. When you're in a relationship with someone, you have to understand, how do I want to be treated? If I was in that person's shoes, how would I want to be treated? And then you want to treat that person in the same way. And we can ask the same question for bondservants. You look at verses 22 through 25, and you ask yourself, what does it mean to honor Christ as a bondservant? It says, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." Now, we don't have bond servants in our culture, but the closest we've got is employees. You go back in that culture, the slaves or the bond servants, it would be like working for an employer. Often, you know, that's what they were. They were at their service, and so they were working for them. And in our culture, we have bosses and employees. And so you can ask yourself, okay, what does it mean to honor God as an employee? And again, you look at that, and you say, well, you have to do it for the Lord. The motivation has to be that you're not doing it for your boss, because your boss may be very unkind. Your boss could be very demanding. And you're not doing it so much for your boss as you're doing it to work for God Himself. It says, work as though you were doing it for the Lord Christ. This is who you are serving. And so if you understand that, because He is the one who has given authority to these people. God is the one who is the ultimate authority. He has given them authority over you. And if you are serving them, you are really serving the Lord in everything that you're doing. And I want you to notice how similar this is to children obeying their parents. This is very similar. In both situations, it says you are to obey them in everything. Everything that is not sinful, you are to do it. In spite of your disagreement with their decisions, you still have to obey them. And if you do that, you are glorifying God. And the last one, of course, for masters, if you look at chapter 4, verse 1, he asks the same question. What does it mean to honor Christ as a master? And it says, "Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." You notice what God is saying again. He says, look up. You see your master in heaven? Now, let that remind you how you are to treat others under you. How would you want God to treat you? And you want to treat others with the same kindness that God treats you. And I hope that you see in all those situations, what we are told to do is to turn to the Lord. It's always what we should do. We always turn to the Lord and we see His kindness, we see His example, and that should motivate us to treat others fairly, to be kind, to be obedient. It's always as you turn your eyes to the Lord, that should be your source of motivation to do what's right before Him. I want you to understand also that in all of these relationships, these are pictures of your relationship with the Lord, in case you missed it. I want you to look at this. The first picture that you have is the marriage between a man and a woman. Now, that is a picture of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we, the church, we are the bride. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And He has made a covenant with us. And believe me, when you look at how Jesus Christ loves the church, this is a wonderful picture. When you see a husband loving his wife because he wants to honor Christ, he can show a wonderful picture of the love of Christ for His church and how He gave everything for her. He sacrificed His own life for His bride. You look at the second picture. You have a relationship between a parent and a child. Well, this is a picture of your relationship with God as your Father. Think about this. He has adopted us as sons and daughters. We are now in His family. And believe me, you want to show how gracious the Lord is as our Father. He's not harsh with us. He is very patient, very gentle with us. And you look at the third picture, the relationship between a bondservant and his master. That's again a picture of our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are under a new master, the Lord Jesus now. We follow Him now. He tells us where to go and we follow Him. And you want to show the world how God is gracious to us. You want to show the world what kind of relationship we have with Him. Because you know, this world is like a stage. Now this world is like a stage. God has designed it so that it would reflect His glory, so that it would reflect His majesty in all of our relationships with other people. Now, some people, they dream of becoming actors. Now, think about this. You don't have to dream about this. You're living that dream. You don't have to wait to be on the big stage because you have your stage right now. And the theme is the glory of God. In your relationships, remember, there's the world that's watching. The world around you is watching, seeing how you treat your wife, how you submit to your husband. The world is watching, the angels are watching, the cloud of witnesses all around you. Everyone is watching, seeing how you are going to behave in your relationships. And you have the opportunity to magnify the glory of God, to show the world how gracious God is to us, how much love He has for His church. You can show the world these things if you honor Him in your relationships with other people. Now, as we conclude, I hope you see this can be such a beautiful masterpiece. You think of artists, they use paint, they can sculpt, they can do all kinds of things. But you know what God uses? He uses people. He uses everything in creation, everything that is organic and living, all of your relationships, He uses all of that to paint His wonderful masterpiece. And you are actors on that stage. And you have a part to play. And you can bring much glory to the Lord in your relationships. And let that motivate you. May that be your motivation to honor the Lord Jesus. And that's why you want to obey these commandments in your relationships. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for helping us to see these things. God, it's such a difficult passage because it's so countercultural. It's so against everything that we want in our hearts to be in charge, to be in control, to have everything center around us. So Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would change our hearts so that we would let go of our own desires and that we would want to live for you, that we would want to honor you in our relationships. Father, I ask that by your Spirit you would impress this upon our hearts, and may you be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.